The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Grunt and the Scientist by Keho and Fox Cub. Rule number 1, read by Keho.
Rule number 23, read by Darsenia.
Rule number 14, read by Love's Bitch.
Rule number 6, read by Duck Early.
Rule number 45, read by Cinder Lily.
Rule number 19, read by Stillwaters 11.
Rule number 73, read by Sophie 448.
Rule number 32, read by Cookie Mom 6067.
Rule number 3, read by Looking for Tarzan.
Rule number 67, read by Alina Malfoy.
Rule number 101, read by Potvick Lover.
Rule number 5, read by Constance B.
Rule number 1. For every scientist, there is a grunt who loves them. Sir, I just don't see why. I mean, there are other botanists. Morn looks a little too anxious, and Shepard can't help but smirk. The planet's nearly 80% rainforest, Major. Who better to take down there than a rainforest expert? But he's part of my team. Are you in dire need of a plant guy at the moment, Major? Shepard says it just to watch Lauren's jaw do that twitchy thing while his face turns pink. No, sir. Well, then, I assure you that Parrish will be in excellent hands. I'll have Rodney keep a close watch on him. Lauren nods once, but Shepard can hear him say fuck under his breath as he leaves the briefing room.
Rule number 23. Don't ask. Don't snoop. Don't even wonder about it. And if you find out anyway, don't even tell upon pain of death. Elizabeth closes her eyes, draping an arm over them. Stephen, that was... incredible. Yes, I know. Elizabeth laughs, swatting at him with her hand. I should have expected the ego. He grins down at her, big and wide. Colonel Stephen Caldwell, at your service. She lies there, trying to breathe normally after one of the best orgasms she's ever had, and, in point of fact, the first orgasm she's had since coming to Atlantis 3 years ago. So, Shepard and McKay? She frowns and uncovers her eyes, glaring up at him. Stephen, she says, menace in her voice. He raises his hands, grin a little bit goofy. I'm just curious. Elizabeth shakes her head. No. Caldwell's eyebrows furrow in confusion. No, they're not, or no, you're not answering. No, we're not having this discussion, she says, raising up and leveling him with her I mean business glare. Because I'm pretty sure if I give one word to Landry about what you look like naked, your credibility goes down just like Shepard's would. His grin widens. So that's a yes? She rolls her eyes and can't help laughing. That's a shut up and kiss me again, or I'll kick you out of my bed. His skin is warm and slick with sweat as he slowly lowers himself on top of her. Yes, ma'am.
Rule 14. The way to a grunt's heart is not through his stomach. It's through his scientist. Hey, McKay. Rodney frowns and looks over to see Lauren lowering himself next to him at the table. Major. Lauren grins, picking up his fork. Fake sirloin, my favorite. Rodney's frown deepens. Major, since when do you eat lunch with me? Since I need you to do me a favor, Lauren answers. But don't think of it as a favor to me. Think of it as a favor to Atlantis. My talents are being wasted doing shit jobs just 'cause the colonel's pissed at me. Ah, Ronnie says, smirking and digging into his own meal. So that's what this is. I didn't mean to, McKay, Lauren says, sounding like a petulant 5-year-old. You know I didn't. It totally wasn't my fault. You broke his new toy, Ronnie says, snickering as Lauren turns an annoyed expression towards him. It was a perfectly good battleship, all for him. The race broke it, not me. You were the one driving it. Saving your ass, Lauren says, pointing a fork at him, half-chewed steak making him mumble the words. If you and Ronan hadn't been on that damn race ship... So I should help because I owe you, Ronnie asks, cocking his head to the side. Huh. Well, let's see. Let me see if I can count out the number of favors you owe me based on how many times I saved your ass. Rodney, Lauren says, his voice urgent and his expression solemn. Please? Rodney rolls his eyes. Oh, fine, but I want the good coffee for the next month. Not that swill that the Daedalus brings, the stuff from Parrish's private stash. Lauren's grin is brilliant. No problem, Doc, you got it. And, Rodney says, pointing at him, you not eating lunch with me. Go away now. Lauren's grin brightens. Even better.
Rule number 6. Never think that brother-in-arms supersedes the relationship of a grunt and a scientist. Parrish comes to in a hazy blur, surrounded by the sounds of shouting. He blinks twice slowly and realizes he's sitting on the floor of the jumper, slumped against the wall. His head is pounding and his legs are killing him. You were supposed to get him out of here before you opened fire, Lieutenant. How goddamn hard is that to remember? The first thing Parrish thinks is that Lorne is swearing and that it sounds way hotter than it should at the moment. The second thing he thinks is that Lorne is upset and somehow it involves Parrish. Sir, they were coming at us from all angles. Dr. Parrish slipped from me and I couldn't keep their... So you thought you let him run off into a live minefield, which was right where the Adarians wanted us to run? His voice gets lower when he's angry, all rough and edgy. Parrish has never noticed this before, and he wishes he wasn't on the verge of sinking back into unconsciousness so that he could listen to it a bit longer. Major, you know how the scientists are. They pretty much do whatever they please, and we clean up after them. There's a brief pause, and then Parrish hears a loud thunk, which could very well be Lauren slamming Lieutenant Garrison against the opposite jumper wall. In case you forgot, Lieutenant, it's our job to clean up after them, not to clean up their body parts. You let a man nearly get blown apart today because you were too damn lazy watching your own ass. No. You're through talking. I'm letting Colonel Shepard handle this once we're back in Atlantis. Until then, sit down and shut up. Silence once more, and Parrish is vaguely disappointed, but he's in too much pain to care. His head begins to feel too heavy to keep upright any longer, so he lets it roll to his shoulder with a sigh. And then he feels a hand on his head, fingers scrubbing roughly through his hair. You're going to be okay, Doc. Lauren's voice gets softer and higher when he's worried. Parrish slips back into the dark, wishing he could listen longer.
Rule number 45. The scientist may sometimes give the impression that he doesn't care about the grunt whatsoever. When this occurs, tread lightly. Very lightly. Colonel Shepard should feel very honored, Taylor says carefully. The twilight ritual is only extended to those whom the Olympians feel they can trust. Doesn't hurt that their head priestess is hot, Ronan smirks. Yes, let's all celebrate Shepard's slumber party invite on the planet of humanity in a pollen count of 50 gazillion. Rodney rubs his eyes and sighs. There aren't enough eyedrops in the galaxy to keep me down here. He marches on ahead of them toward the jumper. I'm sure they would have extended the invitation to 2, Taylor calls after him. Ronan, who is just behind her, snorts loudly. Taylor gives him a dirty look. What for? They specifically asked for our leader, and that, however much we are sometimes loath to admit, is Colonel Shepard. Besides, he gets all giddy when he's fawned over. Taylor pats his arm. Well, he is doing Atlantis a great service by participating in the ritual. He's doing himself a great service by getting the Pegasus version of a spa treatment. The bay door won't open on Rodney's first attempt, and he swears a small blue streak until it finally works. Taylor purses her lips and says nothing for the rest of the trip back to Atlantis. Ronan just smiles.
Rule number 19. Stealing other grunt scientists is not cool, especially if said grunt is your CO. What you doing, Kagan? Kagan looks up to see Barroso smirking at him. The Pegasus version of latrine duty, I guess, he says, reaching up to pull down the mask over his mouth. Want to help? Not even a little bit, Barroso says, laughing. So let me guess, this isn't an assignment from Major Leonard. Kagan rolls his eyes. The colonel's got it in for me, I'm telling you. The fucking sewer system? What the hell did I ever do to him? You have a crush on McKay, Barroso says, squatting down to peer at him. I told you, you needed to find a better way of hiding it. I like him, Kagan says, voice going high. He's interesting. I don't have a crush on him. I just think he's funny. Yeah, Barroso snorts, eyes crinkling up in amusement. McKay, funny, interesting. Nice ass, too, huh? Shut up. Kagan leans back against the wall behind him, looking up at Barroso. Besides, what does Shepard care if I hang out with the scientist? He's the one that said they're our friends, and we'd do well to get them on our sides. Barroso rolls his eyes. He meant to not piss them off, not wine and dine them. I brought him one lunch. He was working all day, holed up all by himself, and you noticed because... Kagan flails a hand. Because I'm considerate like that. I brought you lunch, too. Dude, I'm just saying that you noticed McKay's absence, and Shepard noticed you noticing. Fine, Kagan says, rolling his eyes and putting the mask back on, picking up the wrench. No more lunches for McKay. God. Do yourself a favor, man, Barroso says, standing back up and making a face at the putrid smell wafting up from the ditch. Pick another crush.
Rule number 73. In very rare cases, the grunt knows best. Never let on to the scientist that you know this. I told you not to. Oh, God, not to touch it. Lorne gasps as Parrish practically shoves him onto the bed, kissing him greedily and breathlessly. It looked like a perfectly normal variation of the Alstroemeria. Parrish's words are mumbled, lost in the process of tonguing the skin of Lorne's neck before sucking long and hard. Gotta watch out for... fuck, the pollen. Keep telling you that. Fuck! Lorne jerks his hips when Parrish suddenly cups his crotch, digging the heel of his hand in and somehow knowing just how to grind it into the perfect friction. Parrish chuckles, all deep and wicked-sounding, and yeah, Lorne may have been right, but he was still fucked. I think the pollen's quite lovely, don't you? Parrish punctuates his words with a flick of his wrist, and then Lorne's fly is open and his dick is suddenly poking through his boxers, and Parrish's hand is right there. God, yes, don't ever listen to me again, Lorne babbles in response. And Parrish just laughs as he slides down Lorne's body, licking his lips.
Rule number 32. A grunt fucking with his own scientist does not give you carte blanche to do the same. You don't like me very much, do you? Shepard turns his head to see Mitchell falling into step with him. Excuse me? Mitchell laughs, shrugging. I just call it like I see it. Shepard continues walking. I don't dislike you, Colonel. Can't, Mitchell says, bumping shoulders with him. Come on, man, what gives? Nothing gives, Shepard says, throwing him a tight smile. I'm just on my way to work out. Let's work out together, then. I'll spot you, you spot me, and then maybe we can shoot some hoops, Mitchell babbles, walking faster to keep up with him. Trust me, you haven't lived till you've seen Bala bouncing around that court. Prefer to work alone, Shepard answers curtly. Mitchell stops in his tracks, smile falling off his face. Look, I know you're not happy being stuck here with the ancients back in Atlantis, Mitchell says, stepping up to him when Shepard turns to look at him, hands spread before him. Everybody you've been working with for the past 3 years is spread out around the country, and you're here in a brand new place with brand new people. It's not easy. I know you're pissed. I would be, too. Shepard rolls his eyes. Can we just skip this? But we can be your friends, too, Mitchell says, reaching out to grab his arm. Come on, man, lighten up a little. Shepard glares at him. You don't threaten to kill someone's friend and then expect them to work out with you. It doesn't work that way. Mitchell's eyes widen. Sam was right? Right about what? The lemon thing, Mitchell says, eyebrows screwing together. When we were trying to tie up the super gate. Shepard frowns, turning to look at him. It wasn't a cool stunt to pull. Mitchell's hands go wide. You told me to. You gave me the lemon. It was a joke when I did it, Shepard says, frowning at him. McKay said you were pretty serious about it. Oh, my God, Mitchell says, rolling his eyes. Seriously? Look, I'm just doing my thing here, Shepard says, walking backward down the hall toward the workout room. You go your way, I go mine. I was joking, Shepard, Mitchell calls to Shepard's back as he turns to walk the remaining 10 feet. I wouldn't have actually poisoned him. You have to know that, right? Shepard continues through the weight room door without looking back. It was a joke, Shepard, come on.
Rule number 3. The title of grunt is never strictly reserved for men. Say it again. Not another time. I said it just a moment ago. But I missed it. Please, just once more, I swear. Beckett sighs as he rolls Cadman over onto her back, pinning her hands above her head and lacing her fingers together. He leans in slowly, runs the tip of his nose along her damp cheek until he stops just below her ear. You are the most beautiful lass I've ever seen, he whispers. Cadman grins as she arches her body lazily against his. Christ, that never gets old.
Rule number 67. Simply because the grunts are friends does not guarantee the same will apply to their scientists. You have got to be kidding me. McKay gestures his hand vaguely, and for a moment almost seemed at a loss for words. This is perhaps the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life, Parrish says in a breathless rush, as he lays his hands reverently on the tree's wide, smooth trunk. I mean, the mere idea of harnessing the energy of ZPM into plant life, a single tree that literally protects an entire planet. A waste of physics. God, it's like science fair project gone horribly wrong. Parrish ignores him and continues running his fingers over the bark. Maybe the ancients had the right idea here. Good grief, this could change the face of botany forever. They don't give Nobel Prizes for discovering trees that fire lasers. Oh, fine. Parrish finally turns around and glares at McKay, who only finds it the tiniest bit intimidating due to Parrish's height. At least I won't be destroying an entire solar system with my grand find. McKay lifts his chin a fraction. Your tree couldn't possibly have that kind of energy, he replies, but without the bite he intended.
Rule number 101. What shared between the grunts stays between the grunts. John freezes to the spot, hands still poised to knock, as the door slides open and David Parrish walks out. Colonel Shepard, Parrish says, swallowing convulsively, his face draining of all color. John blinks. Parrish? Lauren's head pops up behind Parrish, his eyes wide. Colonel? John nods, shaking his head. Major? Yes, I have to, that is, well, Parrish nods rapidly, sliding between John and the door to the wider hallway. That is to say, good night. Then he was gone, like a bat out of hell. Lorne leans against the door frame, arms crossed over his chest and looking resigned. His hair is an absolute mess and his boxers are on backwards. Did you want to come in, Colonel? Nah, John says, blinking down the hall and wondering just how it was that the botanist had fled 50 feet in a mere few seconds. We're cool. John turns back to see Lorne arching an eyebrow. Are we? John stuffs his hands in his pockets, bouncing on the balls of his feet. Yeah, you know, we're fine. Lorne points down the hall. Because you just... I mean, now you know that... I know nothing, John says, shaking his head and giving Lauren a look. It's called Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He shrugs, looking away. Besides, I kind of live in a what's the... He furrows his brow and cocks his head to the side. Glass house? Lauren's shoulders relax just slightly. Right. So what you're saying is that you won't be throwing any stones. See, he says, grinning and reaching in his pockets, turning them inside out. Not a stone inside. Lauren grins then, relaxing all the way. Okay. Good, John says, tucking his pockets back in and frowning as they give him trouble. So yeah, we're fine. So what can I do for you? John looks at him sharply. Excuse me? Lauren rolls his eyes, and that's when John knows that they are really fine. Why'd you come to my neck of the barracks this late at night, Colonel? I'm assuming there was a reason? Oh, John says, nodding. Yes, poker. I want to arrange a poker tournament. Lauren frowns. At 1 in the morning? No, no, John says, waving a hand around. Later, some other time, but I wanted to discuss it with you. You're better at the planning thing. Lauren nods. At 1 in the morning? Oh, like you were asleep, John says, grimacing as he realizes that Lauren probably won't take that the way he meant it. I mean, I don't sleep all that much, and I know you don't either, and I was thinking about the poker tournament, so I thought I'd kill 2 birds with 1 stone. Lauren raises an eyebrow comically high, cocking his head to the side. I'm sorry, sir, but I believe we just established that there are no stones here. John smacks him on the shoulder, rolling his eyes as Lauren starts laughing.
Rule number 5. Fucking with the friend of a scientist is a good way to get the scientist's grunt pissed at you. John stretches his body on top of Rodney's, smiling down at him. Wake up, McKay. I want to fuck you now. Rodney blinks up at him blearily. Huh? I haven't seen you in over 13 hours, John says, leaning down and licking his stripe up Rodney's neck. It's just not right. I was busy, Rodney says, his hands coming up to rest on John's hips. He's limp underneath John, and that makes John even more determined. Mikkei spent half the day crying and the other half bitching. John frowned, leaning back. Mikkei was crying? Yes, Rodney says, sitting up and frowning at John. Because of that bastard child of Satan, Adams. John sighed, sitting back on his heels. What the hell did that fuckwit do today? Rodney flaps his hand, shifting a leg to brush up against John's inner thigh. Who knows? Who cares? All I know is that he was spouting off his mouth again at lunch and Miko burst into tears. I'd like to strangle him. John traced a line down Rodney's chest, chewing idly on his lip. What do you think? Potato peeling? Cleaning out the lockers? Laundry duty for a month? How about a good old-fashioned fragging? Rodney snarled. He's got no business making Miko cry. Aw, John says, smiling down at him. You've got a soft spot for Miko. Rodney rolls his eyes. She likes me. I mean, honest to God, likes me. For no good reason. John thinks, letting his hands run idly over Rodney's hips. How about we fuck with his environmentals? He's prone to heat exhaustion. I've already sent him to the infirmary 3 times for it. Rodney raises an eyebrow, smirking up at him. Already done. It's a good start, but not enough. John lowers himself on top of Rodney again, and kissing the side of his neck. Laundry duty for a month, peeling potatoes at the end of every week, and I pit him against Ronan for PT every day for a week. Rodney responds by biting John's shoulder, his fingers tightening on his hips. I love the way you think.
Okay, and that's the story. So I have to thank Fox Cub, of course, as she is my co-author and awesome. She's pretty much responsible for this thing actually coming into fruition because I have lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of fan fiction ideas, and only like, I don't know, 5% of them actually happen. I was talking to her on some sort of instant messenger program, and she said something about something to do with John and Rodney. And I said, I know, dude, it's like in the rule book, you know, like the hand guide, like the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Grunt and His Scientists. And I said, one of these days I'm going to write that. And she said, dude, you totally should. And I said, dude, you should totally write it with me. And she said, dude, okay. And I'm not exactly sure that the dudes are, you know, quotes, but I watch a lot of Supernatural, and Dean says, dude, a lot. So that could influence that. Anyway, so, and thanks to, of course, the readers. I'm just so super duper 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 excited that I have, you know, I don't know how many I have. I haven't counted yet. 11 or something. Different people reading the same story. Or not the same, but whatever. Different parts of the story. And it's at least 4 different accents. And I think that's fantastic. And thank you to them. And yeah, I am going to stop babbling now. Thank you for all of the comments I've gotten over the past 2 or 3 years since I wrote it. I don't even know when I wrote it. It's been a long time coming, this podfic. But here it is. I hope you enjoyed, and thank you very much.